Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. Tens of thousands of Massachusetts workers are getting a raise this week, thanks to a jump in the state's minimum wage from $11 an hour to $12 an hour. Over the next 4 years, that wage is going to rise all the way to $15 an hour, which is considered a big victory for workers and labor advocates. But some employers, including small business owners, are worried that they can't afford to pay these higher wages. Here with us to talk about that is Christopher Carlozzi, who's the Massachusetts State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which represents more than 5,000 businesses statewide. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good to be here today.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And I want to hear your thoughts. I mean, what are the concerns? Wait, so there's a minimum wage increase. It's, I would say the first, but we've been doing this for a couple of years. We've gone from 8 to 11, moving up to 12 and up to 15. What kinds of concerns does this raise for businesses, for small businesses in particular?
NFIB, we represent the smaller business. It's usually roughly about five workers for these businesses, so it's the smallest of the
very small.
That's correct.
And there's like a lot of restaurants, salons, spa,
retail shops. It's going to impact a lot of people. And for my members, there's a lot of fear out there. They're saying to themselves, how do I pay for this? That's the question I'm getting the most. How am I supposed to afford all these cost increases? Because while minimum wage is just part of the equation, there are other factors as well as driving costs for small businesses right now. And if you remember, this was part of a package called the Grand Bargain Law.
So this is over last summer, right?
That's correct.
The lawmakers came together to stop a couple of ballot initiatives by coming to an agreement.
And what happened is this went forward as a package, which included a paid family medical leave program that's going to start going into effect in July of this year and can be utilized later on in time in 2021. But small businesses have been facing double-digit premium increases for health care. Recently as a little while ago, the governor in his comments earlier today was talking about how Massachusetts small businesses face the second highest health care costs in the nation. They face some of the highest energy costs. So this is just one more added labor cost for them. And they're sitting back saying, how am I going to afford this? My sales are not matching these labor cost increases.
Now, I mean, one reason it was a grand compromise is because business groups got something out of it too, guarantee that there would be a tax holiday, right?
That's correct. And for my members, grand bargain was kind of a false term. A lot of them call it a grand mitigation. So it wasn't as bad as
they were worried that it would have been worse had it gone to the ballot.
It certainly would have been a faster increase. It would have been over 4 years rather than the 5 years. And there were some benefits for retailers in particular, which was the phase out of our premium Sunday holiday pay. Retail shops of seven or more had to pay.
They usually have to pay time and a half, right?
Correct. On Sundays and some certain holidays. And this was included in that package, and it was a gradual ratchet down over a five-year period, and it phases out in 2023. And part of the reason, under a $15 minimum wage, small businesses would have been facing a $22.50 an hour Sunday pay or holiday pay. And really,
right, because that's time and a half. 15 times 1.5 gets you $22.50
an hour on a Sunday or a holiday, and that just wasn't realistic. I could count on one hand how many small businesses would stay open on a Sunday or a holiday if that were the case.
Right, because, I mean, for people who don't own their own businesses, you got to think through the logic. If the employee is not helping you bring in an additional $22.50 in sales on a Sunday, then it's not worth having them there.
That's correct. If sales are not increasing with labor costs, certain things are going to have to give at a certain point. And you can only charge so much for a product or a service without seeing a reduction in people buying things or going to a restaurant as often.
So, no, at the same time, we did see a big tax cut last year that included substantial tax cuts for corporations, though most of your businesses wouldn't qualify as corporations, but also for pass-through businesses. Presumably, that's a big boon for a lot of the businesses you represent.
The federal tax cuts did help a lot of small businesses in the state, but I don't think some of these increased labor costs. I mean, we had, in 2014, a mandatory paid sick leave law went into effect. Well, 2015, it went into effect. It passed in 14 on the ballot. That was a cost of doing business increase, and that was something that cost a lot of small businesses in particular. And then we just keep adding these on yearly. There's something called the EMAC assessment or EMAC tax or mass health tax, whatever you want to call it, that went into effect in 2017, where a lot of small businesses are now being assessed a fee on any employee that may receive subsidized health care, state subsidized health care. So all these things just add up for small businesses.
That's if they don't provide health care for their employees.
That's correct. What you see is a lot of small businesses may have somebody who takes on a secondary job, someone who works a weekend job. You have a lot of kids working, younger folks. So small businesses are often the kind of community place where people hire the local kids or somebody who wants that job during the day, maybe while their kids are in school. And so if somebody, you know, is receiving the subsidized care, they're responsible for this EMAC assessment. So it's almost like everything is just piling up at once. If it was one or two things, it would be easier for them to absorb. But it's just everything happening at once for them. And they're kind of sitting back and saying, can we take a break from all these mandates?
Well, one thing I wonder about is, would we be having this? Is $15 the trigger here? Would we be having this conversation? Because I feel like I hear these concerns every time when it goes from $8 to $9, when it goes from $9 to $10. You know what I mean? Is it that we're crossing some dangerous threshold, or is this just what small businesses say every time because anything that cuts into their profits is something they want to resist?
I think there are a few things, Evan, and let's talk about one aspect of it first, where I think we're seeing a direct impact, and that's younger and unskilled workers. We've seen a reduction in younger and unskilled workers. The teen unemployment rate in Massachusetts is three times higher than the regular unemployment rate back in 2016. I think it was almost 10%. You're seeing fewer younger workers. And what happens is when you increase the minimum wage, you are crowding out younger and unskilled workers from the workforce. So fewer teens in the workplace. And one thing we'd certainly like to see this legislative session is something called a teen or training wage. 39 other states in the nation right now have a teen or training wage. Massachusetts is one of 11 states that does not. And what that is a percentage of the minimum wage for a fixed period of time to get younger people into the workforce.
Teens would have a sub-minimum wage. I mean, you see the problem with it, though, which is that it creates an incentive for businesses to hire teens instead of breadwinners, right? If you only have to pay teens $9, but you have to pay a breadwinner $15, then all of a sudden businesses are going to hire more teens and less breadwinners. But that doesn't seem like a great economic outcome.
Well, what happens is that the whole teen training wage, it does only take, you know, 3 months or so of time. So you are essentially talking about summer jobs for kids. You're talking about that kid who wants to work at the pizza shop or over at the lake or something as a lifeguard. And that's what happens. Once you get past that three-month period, the minimum wage goes up to the full rate for people. So you wouldn't be talking about the breadwinners in that case. You'd be talking about the young high school student, the college student trying to make a couple dollars before they go back to school in the summer. And it's something that 39 other states have right now, and Massachusetts is only one of 11 that does not. We're an extreme outlier there.
So, I mean, it does seem still like if we're talking about summer jobs, that would be a lower priority, I think, in terms of thinking about workers and workers' needs.
Well,
than...
It is and it isn't, because I think what I'm hearing from a lot of my members often is they'll call and say that workers don't have those soft skills anymore, like how to show up on time, how to dress properly for work. I hear more and more stories from business owners saying that the first jobs these kids are getting are when they're in their 20s now.
I mean, the problem with talking about kids is like it's true that about half of people earning the minimum wage are between 16 and 25, but that also means half of people earning the minimum wage are adults over 25 who need to make money for things other than, well, I don't know, whatever teens need money for from their summer job. It's a whole different affair. They're keeping households together and whatnot. And I think sort of that's the rationale behind the push to raise the minimum wage and the fight for 15.
Well, part of the problem with that, too, is, though, when you are raising the minimum wage, there have been studies. Mercatus Institute did a study to show when you do increase the minimum wage, it does have an effect on younger workers, and you see fewer opportunities in the workplace. Even Seattle has shown in some of the studies out there that there are fewer hours available. So as we increase the minimum wage and people think they might be having a higher take-home pay because they're getting paid more per hour, there are fewer hours available.
So, I mean, we could play the, like, pick a study game.
My read
of the evidence is that we've got three decades of studies of minimum wage, and mostly what they show is that when you raise the minimum wage, you know, within a reasonable band, that the effect on employment is really small. It's either non-existent or it's small. What I find interesting about the fight for 15 is we may be getting outside that band. That's why I asked you earlier if, like, maybe this is a $15 thing as opposed to let's raise the minimum wage, because this is relatively new territory.
I think another thing we have to consider here, and maybe to go outside the topic of studies, I get a lot of call from my members from different industries. NFIB, we represent all sorts of industries from retail to manufacturing. I got a call the other day from a small restaurant down in southeastern Massachusetts, and she's really struggling to understand how she's going to pay for this. And her solution is, I might just close the shop early. And I was thinking of retiring in 10 years with all the labor costs. I might close down in the next two. The other one, I got a call from someone who hires a lot of teenagers, younger workers. It's a skating rink, and she's seriously considering closing early, retiring, or selling the business. So I get quite a few calls like that. And I guess the last thing I would bring up, You know, I received a call from a member who has a liquor store and a small cafe out in kind of the northwest part of the state. And that economy out there is very different than Boston. What might fly for $15 an hour in Boston doesn't in other parts of the state.
And there's an argument that I think other states have been more sensitive to. As I recall, in New York, they're raising the wage to $15 in the city and in some counties, but not all over the state because they acknowledge regional differences.
Correct. There are areas of the country that have gone to regional. And you've also seen in some of those regions, San Francisco is a good example. A lot of those restaurants moved from San Francisco right across the bridge to an area that did not have the $15 minimum wage. So it does have an impact on how people do business.
Well, that's Chris Carlozzi, the Massachusetts State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which represents more than 5,000 businesses statewide. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.